grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon message to you, dear Christian brothers and sisters, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, you heard read minutes ago. Knowing that you're using the same Bible studies as most churches, I can say with certainty that last Sunday you heard how Jesus sought a place of solitude for himself after hearing about the death of his friend John the Baptist. He sought alone time with his Father in heaven, just as you and I would seek alone time when we hear about the death of a loved one, our friend of ours. And what you and I were through the readings of these texts is we were biblical witnesses last week of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and with 2 fish. We were also biblical witnesses to Jesus preaching the word of the Lord to those people. So it's not much of a stretch for us at all to say that the Lord fed the 5,000 with food and with his holy word, attending to all their needs, not just the body, but also of soul. And then once again we see that it is the Lord himself who provides for all people all things. So it's no wonder after teaching a great crowd and miraculously feeding thousands, Jesus finally got the time alone that he desired. After sending his disciples off in a boat to go before him to the other side of the lake, we're told that Jesus dismisses that large gathering, sends them on their way, while he himself goes to the top of the mountain to pray. And we're told in this reading that as all this is going on, it's close to the end of the day. Close, especially as Jesus feeds the 5,000. And it's even later in the day as he sends his 12 disciples in a boat across the lake. As soon as they cross over the waters, the winds picked up. The waves beat against the bow of the boat. And they weren't making much, if any, headway at all. Scripture's very specific here. It doesn't do it often. But it says it was the third watch of the day. We're also told in Scripture that that's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Who would be rowing a boat across a windy, rolling lake at 3 o'clock in the morning? Anyway, we know that the disciples must have been exhausted. They must have been soaking wet. They likely feared for their very lives. And then on the horizon, they see a mysterious figure. Not someone standing off on the shoreline. No, this figure is walking on water. And we're told they instantly went from being afraid to terrified. It says people don't walk on water. They assume that this figure they see must be a ghost. So is it any wonder they cry out in fear? Now, I'm not a big fan myself of being on water, especially deep lakes. Certainly the ocean. And I'm quite certain if I were one of the disciples in that situation, I'd be running across the top of the water like you see figures in cartoons, but in the opposite direction. But Jesus knows his disciples. He knows their fears. And immediately he speaks to them saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Now Peter, being Peter, wasn't so sure of the situation. He wanted a little more proof as to the identity of this figure out in the water who sounded something like Jesus. You see, Jesus' word wasn't enough at that time for Peter. So he makes this comment. He said, "Lord, if that's you out there, command me to come to you on the water." I'm not sure Peter knew what he was actually asking for. But Jesus gives in to Peter's request. He concedes. And he commands Peter. One simple word. Come. Come. So I think without considering any ramifications at all, Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk towards Jesus. Oh, what a miracle that must have been to walk on water. But we're told that the winds and the waves had not yet subsided. And the disciples were still being splashed from the boat. And while he's walking on water, Peter is pounded by those same unruly whitecaps. And fear begins to overtake him. And as fear begins to overtake him, he begins to sink in the watery mess. Now, when I read this generally for the first time, or the second, or the third, maybe, maybe it's for you too, we might be a little bit disappointed in Peter for his doubts, his fear, and his lack of faith. After all, Peter was one of the Lord's honored 12 disciples who have been called by Jesus Christ himself. Peter had a front row seat to Jesus giving sight to the blind, making the deaf hear, the mute to speak, the lame to walk, and leap when fear. Like Peter, he witnessed Jesus raising the dead back to life. He witnessed all Jesus' miracles. And he had just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. And Peter himself, he was one of those disciples. After Jesus broke the bread and the fish and put it into baskets and gave thanks to his heavenly Father, who distributed this food to the thousands of people gathered there on the hillside. So we must ask the question, what more could Peter possibly want from Jesus to believe that he was indeed the promised Messiah, the very Son of God? That's a question I find myself asking often as I read some of these texts. But you know, this morning, rather than being disappointed in Peter and us judging him, how about we take a few minutes and you and I learn from Peter? You see, what happened as he walked across waters was Peter took his eyes off of Jesus Christ when he began to worry and focus on worldly things like the raging waves and the splashing waters of the windy sea. And that, my friends, is when he began to sink. The truth is that can happen to Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. It can surely and most certainly happen to you and I. You know, when we take our eyes off of Jesus and then focus them on the worldly things, on things of this life, we too begin to sink in doubt, sink in despair. It happens. It easily happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus and his word to focus down on the conflicts around him. It happens when we take our eyes off Jesus and instead focus on our own shame of sin, our own disappointment for our many failures to love God. When we focus on our own health, our sometimes disruptive relationships. When we focus on ourselves and our own personal struggles more than we focus on Jesus. It happens when we take our eyes off Jesus. Instead of focusing on the wind and the waves of living in this fallen world. When we fear the dangers and difficulties of our lives more than we fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It can easily happen to any of us at any time if we lose our focus on Jesus Christ and the gifts He's already blessed us with. Now, one more thing I'd like to say about Peter, if I may. When he began sinking into the waters below the waves, he didn't fumble and thrash around, splashing, trying to save himself. Instead, immediately cries out, "Lord, save me." In a very similar way, you and I cannot. No matter how hard we might try to save ourselves from sinking, we too must cry out, "Lord, save me." When we find ourselves tossed about by the destructive winds of life, when the treacherous waves of sin are crashing in upon us, there's but one thing you and I can do, and that is what Peter did. Cry out, "Lord, save me," and then trust wholly in His mercy. Now when Jesus hears Peter's cry for help, you see what Jesus does immediately without any hesitation, without any consideration? He reaches out His hand. He takes hold of Peter and brings him back to the safety and security of the boat. You know what? When you and I cry out to Jesus, our Lord, in repentance for His forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, He does the same to us. He reaches out to us immediately, takes hold of us and lifts us up in His Word. Reaches out His hand to take hold of us. One of the many ways He does this, He did through the waters of holy baptism, through which He forgave us our sins and gave us the gift of the Spirit. He reaches out His hand to you as you hear His word spoken into your ears, as you read that word. The truth. The word, the truth, that through Jesus Christ your sins are forgiven and death has already been defeated. See, here's the thing. God's holy word is not just some scribbling, some information, or words printed in a particular order on a sheet of paper and then put into a book form. For God's holy word actually gives, it actually delivers the salvation that is recorded in it. And then too, the Lord's Supper, Jesus takes hold of you, and He feeds you His true body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, just as His word says. And through the word, the sacraments, Christ reaches out to you, His hand, and He calms your fears. He heals your sadness and brokenness. He removes your doubts. And He gives you faith and life. So, have you ever had doubts? I don't want you to raise your hand in the answer. I don't expect the answer to that question this morning. Because, I'll tell you why.
one time or another, everyone in this house of worship has had their doubts. Everyone. Have you ever been a little faith? You know, not this faith or going down to this, but I mean little. Sometimes having a faith so small that if there were such a thing as a faith meter, nothing would register on that needle at all. The truth is, we have our doubts. We have our own doubts, especially when we only look to ourselves to find answers, instead of looking to Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Okay. One more thing. Well, in truth, maybe two or three or four things I'd like to say about Peter. Did you notice that when Peter cried out to Jesus for help, our Lord didn't say anything like this: "Peter, I'm glad to save you, but first you better build up your faith and stop doubting." No, Jesus immediately reaches out and takes hold of Peter and brings him to safety. Something else. Jesus didn't ask Peter before he saved him, "First tell me that you're a good person, Peter. Then tell me and explain to me why it is I should save you." No, immediately upon hearing Peter's call for help, Peter's call to save his life, Jesus reaches out to him and brings him to safety and gives him life. You know what? The good news is it works the same way for you and for me, just as it did for Peter. At those times we have doubts, at those times when our faith can be little, at times we can find ourselves separated from God and about to be swallowed up from the waves of sin and death. But like Peter, we can cry out, "Lord, save me." And he does just that. He grabs hold of you, just as he has made you his own. He will not forsake you. He saves you, and he brings you to everlasting life. Christ has taken hold of you. He's made you his own, and he has promised through his word to never let go. That word is the same word that enabled Peter to walk on water. That word is the same word that keeps us in the one true faith. That word is the same word that leads us to confess along with Peter, "Truly, you are the Christ, the Son of God." Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior.